Grace, mercy, and peace are truly yours in abundance from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I invite the congregation to rise as we read a portion of our gospel lesson to help set the perspective here. We know that Jesus had appeared to his disciples and Thomas wasn't there. And when Thomas came, they wanted to tell him about it, but he wouldn't have it. He wanted to see the evidence himself. And so we pick up our text in verse 26. It says, a week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So for our reading, we bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, these are your words, and your word is truth, and we would ask that you would sanctify us, that is, to make us holy through your truth. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, numbered among those who have not seen, but yet believe. On that first Easter morning, Jesus gave his disciples ample evidence that he had indeed risen. The women went to the tomb early that morning to finish the embalming. They were toiling over how they were going to move the stone to get the job done, but when they arrived, they saw that the stone was indeed rolled away, and Jesus was not there. They went and told Peter and John and the other disciples, and Peter and John ran to the tomb to verify. And yes, Jesus was not there. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden and spoke to her personally. Jesus walked with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Ample evidence that he had risen. And now, in the beginning of our text, we find Jesus again appearing to his disciples, locked away in a room, afraid for their lives. Basically, they were afraid that the Jewish authorities were going to come and get them and do the same thing that they had done to Jesus, so that his word couldn't spread. But just as miraculously as he had left the tomb, there he stood before them in that locked room. His first words, peace be with you. And what peace his rising from the dead did bring into the world, that gap between God and his sinful people had been bridged with Jesus' death on the cross. His erring children were now reconciled to him, and the peace of Christ, the peace of God, is there for all who believe. They can have comfort and joy knowing that their sins are forgiven, knowing that they have eternal salvation, and they will spend eternity in God. This peace of Christ, or the peace of God, and just the topic of peace is quite extensive. And Paul even tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that God's word, it tells us in God's word that God's peace surpasses all understanding. But there are some aspects of this peace that we can discuss. And there's two relatively simple concepts that I would like to share with you this morning, and that they do have a purpose. Jesus, once again, gave us the information that we need to make this discussion as he talked about the two different types of pieces. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This peace of Christ, this peace of God, is the power of the Holy Spirit working in a troubled heart, calming our fears and giving us strength to continue to go forward in the world. It's not like this earthly peace or this worldly peace that Jesus mentioned. It's many times very fleeting. For instance, if something comes into our lives that creates this fear, let's say there's an enemy outside of the door. We're inside and we're cowering in fear. We don't know what to expect. Our lives are topsy-turvy. We're consumed by what's going on. And then some police officers come and they remove the threat. We would say that we were once again at peace. And we would feel relatively safe after some time to be moving around, and we would feel comfortable again. On a more personal level, there's many times where peace is shattered in our lives. We have sicknesses, maybe money problems come into our lives, or some calamity that would maybe we would say is rock our faith. Car accidents, tornadoes, floods, house fires, many different things like this that we experience in this life that can consume our thoughts. We can lose sleep and be anxious over all of these things. And then when that calamity has passed, when the sickness is healed, we can say, "Well, and now I feel at peace. Things are better." But that's once again, a fleeting peace, because the very next time that something comes into our lives, we find ourselves anxious and worried and stuff. It's not that life-changing peace as the peace of Christ is. And sadly, even this worldly peace in our world today, there are many people that are under such terrible pressures and under such duress that they hardly ever get to enjoy any of the earthly peace. We have people living in despotic governments. We have terrorism around the corner. We have families in our midst and that we know that have people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and that creates family problems, and there is no peace. But we do know that even for them, if something changes, that they can feel a moment of peace. But once again, even that is a fleeting peace. But thanks be to God that the peace of Christ is quite the opposite. It works totally different. It does change our lives. When we come to faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be it through the waters of baptism or in our adult lives, hearing God's word and the Holy Spirit taking an indwelling in our hearts, we can know that we have eternal salvation. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that eternal salvation is ours, and that can't be taken from us. Jesus said, "No one's going to pluck what is mine from my hands." So even though during different times of life when our faith might be shaken to the core through different things, through God's word, through the preaching and teaching of his word, through the fellowship of believers, through prayer, that faith is once again strengthened and that true peace is restored. Once again, this was all purchased and won for us through Jesus' great sacrifice as he died on the cross, shedding his lifeblood for your sins. And then rising again victorious. Yes, everything that had been foretold in the Bible, in the Old Testament about Jesus, was indeed true. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the true Son of God, and he works and strives to keep us in that true faith. Now, the reason I've made a big point about these is it's not only for our peace, but we can take this truth and we can share it with others. As we talk with people in our world today that might not have Jesus in their lives, and we talk about world issues is a pretty big topic, or what's going on even in our local neighborhoods. And they're always talking about unrest and how they don't feel safe. A perfect opportunity for us to agree that, yes, that worldly peace is shattered, but we indeed have another peace, the peace of Christ. You can share with them how in your church that peace of Christ is built up and shared in God's word, in the sacrament of the altar, and when we get to witness a baptism. There's a couple of Bible verses that you could take with you on when you do this, or if you find yourself in this position. The one I read earlier from John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither be afraid." And then there's another one from John chapter 16, verse 33, that says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The number of people in this world today that need to hear those Bible verses and know what it means and come to faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is growing exponentially. I work in areas of the United States where there's over 80% unchurched, and that those numbers are growing fast in other communities also. And so we have this peace of Christ, and it should bubble up in us and want us to share it with others. But once again, we know that this peace can be shaken and rocked. I was going through this in a Bible study one time, and one of my parishioners looked up at me and she said, "Yeah, Pastor, we're not in heaven yet." Well, that's true, but it puts it into perspective. This earthly peace, this peace of Christ that sustains us here on earth, will lead us to that eternal peace in heaven when we can stand before the throne of God in that eternal day and enjoy the fruits of heaven, just as God has promised. And you know how faith can be rocked in our life? We have a perfect example of that here this morning as we look at Thomas. Thomas we see in two lights as we look through the book of John. First, we see him as the staunch supporter, this devout disciple of Jesus, willing to do anything for his Lord. And that's brought out in the account when Lazarus had died and Jesus was getting ready to go down to Bethany. As he announced his departure, Thomas stood up and said, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." What he's referring to is the Jewish leaders were trying to plot against Jesus, and the disciples had heard about this, and they were concerned about Jesus' safety. But Thomas put that aside. He said, "Let's go. Let's go. We'll die with him if that's what we need to do." So we see him in that light, and then we see him in our text as having lost his friend and his Savior to the crucifixion, and now hearing that he is back and he had risen from the dead, Thomas questions that. Now, why he wasn't with the disciples on that first evening when the Lord appeared to them and commissioned them with the forgiveness of sins, we can't be sure. But when he did come, the disciples were eager to share with him what they had seen. Yes, the Lord had risen. He was here with us. He ate with us. But Thomas didn't take that. He wouldn't accept that. He said, "Unless I see the proof, unless I see him with my own eyes, unless I see the wounds from the crucifixion, I will not believe." He had great doubts. And so about a week later, we're told in our text, once again, in a locked room with the disciples, there Jesus appears. While the other disciples are there, he goes immediately to Thomas. And he says, Thomas, he tells him to touch his hands, to see the wounds. And we see Thomas's unbelief melt away as he makes that great statement, my Lord and my God. His faith was restored. He knew that he was standing before God Almighty in Christ, Christ incarnate. So in this process, Jesus told him, don't be faithless, but believe. That same message can fit into our lives too. When we have problems and our faith is weakened, don't be faithless, but believe. You see, only Jesus knew the heart of Thomas and could understand what he needed. Jesus knows your heart as well. He knows what your needs are, and he is here willing and wanting to take care of them. But so many times we strike out on our own when things get difficult, and it's only later when somebody maybe reminds us or the Holy Spirit reminds us that we come back and focus on God's word and we're restored. How many times in your life can you say that God has come to you and restored you and helped you and put you back on the path? I know there are many in my life. So the strengthening of our faith and keeping our faith whole, it's very important. And that's why it's important that we present ourselves here at God's house of worship every chance that we get. Because while we're here, we are fed the bread of life, God's word, through the means of grace. It comes to us in the preaching and teaching of the word, in the sacraments. Here today, we are privileged to partake in the very price that the Lord paid for our salvation, his body and blood. Here to strengthen our faith, to assure us of our forgiveness, to lead us forward as his dear children, all here for us, for you as individuals. So we do have many rich blessings here in our house and in our faith and in our church. And so it's not only important that we present ourselves, but it's also important that the church remains faithful to the word, that we continue to preach and to teach according to God's word and its truth and purity. And we all work together as a fellowship of man to do that. So as we stand together or sit together here in our church today, so we will stand in eternity with our Heavenly Father before the throne. And we look forward to that day. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we rejoice. Jesus poured out his lifeblood for your sins. He did so knowing your hearts and your needs. He did so out of a great love, a love so great that you and I will never be able to comprehend it. And it has created in us a peace that we can't understand. It surpasses all of our understanding. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, peace be with you. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise for the blessing. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.